3, and we'll be there in just a few moments as we will finish up our Bible study, Lord willing. We may have to take another week, but we'll see where time allows tonight to complete a Bible study in a series on godly motives, and then we will move on to another series that I want to do on the Ten Commandments. That's where I believe the Lord is leading on Wednesday nights, to do a series through the Ten Commandments. And we'll see if we start that next week, Lord willing, or the following. But I want to give a quick update on Building Committee, Building and Grounds. And we had a good meeting and covered several different items on Monday night. And one item that we know we are feeling the pressure with, it's a good problem, because we're feeling the pressure of more people in the building on Sundays, particularly Sunday mornings. And so the ladies' restroom space is at a premium. It's minimal. So one of the things that we are looking at, until we can increase our restroom space, we have a long-term solution that we're looking at, but it's early, and we're just in the idea stage. But one thing that we are looking at doing, I know this will put a little bit of an inconvenience on the men, but having just this one men's restroom in the lobby available for the men and the other three restrooms designated for the ladies, I know that that would create a little bit of a line and a patience issue for us men, but we're looking at that as at least a temporary solution, with another temporary solution to come in a long-term solution as the Lord would allow. But that would just be for Sunday mornings. We would have just those three restrooms available for ladies on Sunday mornings, with the one restroom only for the men right here in the lobby. We don't want anybody to have to run to Dollar General or Family Express. So we're looking at another at least temporary option for the men. And there's not a good solution outside, though there are some bushes and trees. Sunday nights, we will go back to just the normal use of those restrooms. So we'll have to have some signage to make that clear. But that's something that we'd like to start as early as this Sunday. And we'll see how it goes. We may have to make some other adjustments, but at least try to take some of the pressure off the ladies' restrooms. And we as men, we can handle a little bit of bladder control or patience, and we'll see how that goes. And we are looking at some other options. We also talked about an awning carport out here that would be a solid structure. It would have a little bit of a covered sidewalk, and it would have a carport out toward this second set of parking in order to be able to make the turn and not take any of our current parking spots. We're in the early planning stages. We've consulted with a couple of, independent contractor, and they are associated with our church, and they are in the early planning stages of trying to get some drawings. We've done some measurements, and so that's something that we're looking at doing to get us a little bit of a better look. Not that we don't have it's not that we have an ugly building, and we have the beautiful windows, stained glass windows, but it'd be nice to have a nice carport where we can be out of the weather, and it would present a nice front, because we would have a nice solid structure out there and be weatherproof with lights, and even add some Ballard's concrete posts. Kelly? I know, that's very nice of them to do, but it just doesn't set the best message for visitors or guests if somebody has to run out there with an umbrella. So that's one thing we're looking at. We're in the early stages of that, and then we're looking at possibly adding some security panels here in the auditorium to add some additional protection for our church family. We want to do a cleaning day on a Saturday morning in April, and just do some touch-up of paints and just do some general cleaning. We're looking at some upholstery cleaning for the pews, just to get them fresh and nice-looking. I have an appointment with one of the companies on Monday morning. We're trying to get another company scheduled. and then we'll get some price quotes on upholstery cleaning. And Ray, what am I forgetting? Bob, I forget who else was there. Am I forgetting something? I feel like I'm forgetting something else that was discussed. Yes, trying to do some different piping or newer piping to increase our water flow both in the restrooms and out here to the garden. We do have one volunteer for the garden, but we could use a second one to tag team with her, and that'll be growing here pretty soon. I know come April for sure it'll probably be taking off, and we thank the Lord for Jerry Vector and all the good work he did out there, so it's in pretty good shape. Ray? Correct. Right. Right. We're considering, adding some chairs in the back of the auditorium or doing some rotation with some people in the fellowship hall. We need to add a piece of hardware to split the cable because we added a TV in the nursery and that cut off the direct link from the camera to the fellowship hall. So we got to get another splitter for that to be able to do a live broadcast in the fellowship hall. So those are just some things. Good problems to have. We want to stay unified through this, but we understand that there are times where we have to kind of deal with some inconveniences in order to get to the next step. And I remember when we were having a big building project at our former ministry, we had to have recess in an 8-foot ceiling shelter building with a concrete floor and a butane heater. And I had to shovel the sidewalk all the way from the driveway to the shelter building where we did recess. And we had a lot of inconveniences for a while, and sometimes we have to do that. There's a proverb that says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Sometimes we have to deal with an ox in order to get to the next place where God wants us to be. And so I just trusting and praying, if you'll pray with us for the building committee, for the deacons, for me, as we work through, we want to be good stewards of the Lord's money. We also want to be good stewards of the building and to present ourselves well with a good testimony. And we are just thankful for the good growth, and we're thankful for the resources that God has blessed us with. Pray for wisdom as we seek to do these potential changes and improvements. All right, so that is a quick update on the building. We'll turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in the time that we have left here. And I want to look at a godly motive of heavenly rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, and let's look at verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, are God's building. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the question is, does the Bible teach heavenly rewards? I think it's very clear just from this one passage that God is keeping an accounting of true believers, born again Christians, and what they are doing in faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, how they are serving. God is keeping a record. There is an accounting. We saw at least two phrases in there. Verse 8, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then we also saw it, and I did not mark the verse in my Bible here, but there's also the mention of reward again down further in another verse in that paragraph that we just read. We could also go to other verses that we'll go to in just a few moments. So does it matter how we live on earth before we die? Does it matter? Certainly does. I see a lot of heads bobbing up and down. That's right. It does matter. But there are some who wrongly think that it's really not that big of a deal. Once you're saved, we have the grace of God, and so we can be very permissive in how we live. We talked a little bit about this on Sunday night. There's always the group that are the libertarians who think that it's pretty much just que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. We have grace that is our safety net. When we read in Romans, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, with very strong terms. So yes, we'll see, and this is not an exhaustive list of passages, but we'll see several here in a minute that make it very clear that it does matter how we live right now. We are preparing for eternity. Yes, as saved individuals, we are secure in our salvation, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are destined for heaven in that glorified state, but it does matter how we live. So one passage, we don't have time to read all of these verses, but we know the parable well. The parable of the talents, the five, the two, and the one. And there was a day of reckoning. And the five and the two both multiplied their talents. And at the end of that parable, what is the phrase that we often quote that we pull from that parable? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The faithful servant received a reward. That's a parable that speaks to heavenly reward. That there is a reward for faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then we could go to several other passages. Looking over to 1 Corinthians 4. We're in 1 Corinthians 3, but look over one chapter to verses 3 through 5 of chapter 4. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. I think there is clearly a reference there to a reckoning in heaven for believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We probably know this passage well. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is the judgment seat for believers. This is not a judgment for sin. Sin has been taken care of at the cross. When we got saved, and the blood of Christ was applied, and we were justified. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not a judgment for sin. I don't believe there's going to be a big screen in heaven replaying our entire life either. I don't see that in Scripture. But God is keeping the records. He knows whether what we have done is good or is bad. This is not Santa Claus who's checking on our list or his list to see who's been naughty or nice and that we're to be good for goodness sake. No. As a believer, we are motivated, as we've looked at, by love, by all the other 9+ things that we could talk about, especially the 9 that we specifically looked at in the previous weeks. The love of Christ, our acceptance in Christ, the love of God, our calling in Christ, the next generation, the Word of God, truth, all of the areas that we've looked at, but especially our debt of gratitude that we owe the Lord for the salvation that He has provided and that He has saved us with. That should alone be a motivation to love Him and to serve Him and to be faithful to Him all our days. So, clearly, God is keeping a record. Romans 14 and verse number 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is a near fulfillment of that in the present sense. Obviously, there's consequences for sin in the here and now, in the present life, but that also speaks to the fact that there is a reaping of eternal rewards in heaven. So we often apply it to the here and now, which we should, but there's also the eternal rewards. And verse 8 even speaks to the eternal aspect. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ephesians 6 and verse number 8. Ephesians 6 and verse number 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Man may forget, man may overlook, maybe man doesn't even notice. But God does. God knows, God sees. And sometimes we want to look for all the accolades and all the promotions, and we want to make sure everybody notices us. And in a social media crazed world, hardly anything is done that we don't post. But whatever happened to the saints of old, of 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago or more, who they never had a social media post, who served faithfully, sometimes on foreign mission fields, sometimes just in a house serving their family, helping, being faithful husbands and wives, mothers and fathers. They never posted anything on social media. Were their good works not kept account of? Sure they were. But sometimes we get in the mentality, well, I must be more spiritual because I was able to make it more broadly known. Nothing wrong with posting. But you know what I'm saying. Sometimes it becomes braga posting. It's not so much about what God has done. It's about glorify me, right? Sadly, it's easy to get caught up in that because there was a professional sports player, maybe he was retired, who literally saved a man's life who was, I think, 80 or 90 years old, getting beat up by some, can I just say the word thug? Okay, thank you. All right. He was getting beat up by some thug, and some professional, I think it was a former football or basketball player, professional athlete, saved this guy's life. And he said, I could have just stood there and done a video recording of the guy getting beat up like other people were doing. But he said, I couldn't do that with a clean conscience. I went after that kid and helped save that man's life. And he wasn't out there for accolades, but he got on the news. But he wasn't there for that. He was there to help that man. And I think, I don't know if this man's a Christian or not, but I think a lot of Christians could learn from that. Because sometimes we want to be noticed, and then we get our feelings hurt, and we get upset, and how come so-and-so didn't... And it's on us as leaders to make sure that we do acknowledge and that we do praise. And it's important for us to do that, especially with our children as parents. We can't just be negative all the time. But sometimes we're human and we just overlook and we forget. And we have to give that over to the Lord. And we have to be God pleasers and not men pleasers. But God is keeping an account. God knows. Colossians 3, 24 and 25. Colossians 3, 24 and 25. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And then Revelation 22 and verse number 12. Revelation 22 and verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And so we see that there is clearly taught in Scripture heavenly rewards. And I know that there is application to unbelievers in the sense of being judged according to their works and the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 15 speaks of the unsaved being judged according to their works. Romans 2 and verse number 6. But we're not dealing with the unsaved tonight. I really want to focus on believers, true believers. But the unsaved are judged, obviously. And their judgment, having rejected Christ as their Savior, is eternal damnation in a place called hell, the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And there's a judgment according to their works. I do believe there are degrees in hell based on the amount of light or truth that they have received and rejected. So sobering reality, but we're dealing particularly with believers tonight. We already read 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. And in those passages, there's the mention of gold, silver, and precious stones, and also of wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, what is the primary difference between those two? Motive. What's that? Yes, okay, according to ability. I'm sorry? Yes, okay, yes, correct. So what's the difference? Some are burned up, some are not. Thank you. What's the difference ultimately in the heavenly aspect? It's the motive. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to represent, in some cases, the emptiness, what's going to get burned up just because it's empty, the frivolous things that we waste our time and our energies and our money and our life with, that's part of it. But also, there is the aspect of a good work that's done with a selfish motive. There is some things that are done right, that are done good, that are done well, but they're not done for the Lord's glory. They're done for me, what I can get out of it. And we're robbing God of His glory. That's also, I believe, in the wood, hay, and stubble. There's the vain, the empty things that too many believers waste their time with. And it's going to be a sad day of reckoning, I fear, for a lot of believers when they have wasted their life in a lot of ways. Not much gold, silver, and precious stones. But the gold, silver, and precious stones are that's the obedience, the fruit of the Spirit, the good works that come after salvation. That's the laying up of treasures in heaven. That's the eternal. That's investing in people's lives. That's service for the Lord. We can go on and on. But it's also done with the right motive, with love for the Lord, out of service for the Lord, in humility, in a true, genuine desire for that person's spiritual growth and for their maturity and to see them grow up in the Lord and be edified. True service for the Lord. So then we also think of this in Colossians 2 and verse number 18. Let no man beguile you, deceive you, defraud you. Let no man beguile you of your reward. That's a scary thought, that we could have rewards diminished because we are deceived by doubtful, deceptive, dangerous, doubting doctrine. He is in Colossians 2 warning believers of dabbling in wrong doctrine, getting too acquainted and too familiar and starting to begin to dabble in and become somewhat involved in, okay, wrong doctrine. Do I believe that there can be people such as what Brother Earl's been dealing with on Sunday morning? Are there some rare exceptions of Roman Catholics who might be true believers? There might be true believers among practicing Roman Catholics. I think it's rare. I think they're a very, very small minority. But aren't they dabbling, living in, trying to somehow be on two sides in a false religious system? They have to be involved in some amount of disobedience on the side of God, for sure, but even on the Roman Catholic practices. There's people who, I think, go way too far in their study of false doctrines, and I'm going to be a master of whatever. And I think some of them get way too deep and they get in over their heads and they become doubtful and they become discouraged. And there's all kinds of temptations. And with all the media and internet and everything that we have, people can go off on huge tangents. I mean, there's good people who I know who are not in church, or they're in some really strange churches and they are not getting the whole counsel of God. They pretty much preach just one, two, or three or four things because that's all that they're just immersed in all the time, and there's no breadth or depth. And they have certain loyalties to certain internet personalities or certain preacher personalities. And I'm like, what are they, besides those three or four main issues that they use like a club, and they wear that issue. It's like they have a big lanyard and a sign on their chest saying, I am a Christian, and here are the four things that you must agree with me on immediately right now. Shake your hand if you don't agree. You know what I'm saying? I've been around those people. I've been in the ministry long enough. I've met a few of those. And their ministries are about that deep. And I just wonder sometimes, what are they doing, especially in places of leadership and ministry? 2 John 8, he warns, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Doesn't that strongly imply that we could lose a good thing that God has allowed us by His grace to earn, but we could lose it through, yes, a faithfulness for a while, but then we get unfaithful? We are busy for the Lord, serving, active, faithful in so many different ways for 20 years. And have you met people like this the last 20 years, 25 years? Well, you know, that person or that preacher or this or that, and they start making excuses for why they dropped out of church, dropped out of serving, not faithful. I'm not talking about the people who are providentially hindered because of some physical illness or disability. But I have met way too many people through the years. Well, I used to serve Jesus. I used to go to that church. I was this and I was that. And you want to ask, what's going on now? Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. Preacher dude, he was the one who was saying this and saying that, and he made me mad. He didn't, and usually it's something trivial. Not always. Sometimes there are church splits and there's anger, but still that doesn't give us an excuse to just drop out on God. I know there are some ugly church splits, and shame on those churches that go through those ugly splits. But that doesn't give anybody an excuse to say, I don't have to serve God anymore. It may mean that there has to be a new church formed, or they have to travel 30 or 40 minutes. I mean, I know people who had to leave a good church that was a good church, but has begun to drift or has gone wayward, and they end up having to travel 30, 40 minutes to get to a good Bible preaching church, or had to help form a new assembly of believers, a new church. And that's hard. But praise be to God for those people who remain faithful even when there are disappointments by people along the way and failure among people. Praise God for those who remain faithful and don't drop out and then somebody knocks on their door or meets them in the store and say, where have you been? Well, I used to serve Jesus, but Jesus let me down. No, He didn't let you down. There were some people who let you down, but you have to keep your eyes on the Lord and stay faithful so that we don't lose our reward or be beguiled by false teaching. That's as far as we're going to be able to get tonight. I'd love to go another 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, but I don't want to do that to you. We'll come back to this, Lord willing, next week. We'll finish this. I know there were blanks in the handout. I wanted to make sure we updated you on some of the building committee things. It's important for us to have our prayer time so we can continue this study, again, Lord willing, next Wednesday. But let's continue to pray for one another. Thank you for praying for one another and caring for one another. And let's bow in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for our time together in your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing here in our midst. May, Lord, we keep our eyes on you. May, Lord, we truly, by your grace, live a life focused upon you for your glory, knowing, Lord, that there are rewards in heaven. And that's only by your grace, and we thank you for it. And may we truly be laying up treasures in heaven. And Lord, help us not to lose our reward that you desire to give us, that we will then give back to you in praise to your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, for, again, what you're doing in our midst. Pray we'll be faithful to you, Lord, throughout the remainder of the week. Pray for safety, for strength, for healing, and for your guidance and direction in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Have a great rest of the week. We look forward to being back together on Sunday.